and welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. I am not James Gilliland, and neither are you. And that's okay, and I greet all of the divine, multidimensional beings out there listening tonight. My name is Nate, and I work here at The Ranch, and I'm going to be guest hosting slash moderating a panel discussion here tonight. James is actually surfing the cosmos, or traveling dimensionally, and he actually disappeared before our very eyes in a brilliant flash of light. And before he did that, he asked the staff to take care of the show for the weekend. So here we are. He's going to be back next weekend, regular time. And it really presents us with quite a rare and unique opportunity tonight to get some of the perceptions or insight of the core staff here at ESETI. And so, you know, we're going to discuss some of the, you know, things that are going on the world scene globally, from that macrocosm back down to the microcosm of individual personal journeys here at the ranch. And so, you know, without further ado, let's get into this here. We got we got Pam, we got Jan of the River Elf, we got Steph, we got Sun, and we even have Dan the Man. And we wanted to, you know, start off with the first thing for the evening to kind of just talk about the mass animal die-off. Now, this is a subject, turn that on, that's been, you know, it's been in the mainstream or lamestream media. It's also been being covered by the alternative media. And, you know, the mainstream media was kind of talking about, oh, this was, you know, this is all fireworks and other kind of lame excuses. Other people have been, you know, pointing out chemtrails or additives to the chemtrails as a possible culprit, or even looking at the HARP technologies, scalar technologies, Tesla technologies. And then even further, some people have been pointing out that, you know, there actually has been a documented shift in the North Pole, and this has been affecting the magnetosphere of the planet. That's tying into earthquakes. That's tying into gases being released by the planet, or even holes in the magnetosphere allowing, you know, poisonous space gases to come into the planet. So there's a number of different explanations that people are putting forth on this phenomenon. Let's just open this up to the round table here. Looks like we're not the only zany mystics having a fireside chat this evening. We got a nice fire here. We're at the ESETI Ranch, and it looks like maybe Pam has something to say about this phenomenon. What are your thoughts on this, Sam?
Well, there's a lot of information floating around about these happenings, but I look for synchronicities in my process and how I take in information, and I look at it all. I was watching a documentary on Tesla, and part of that was his first experiments with scalar technologies. And what happened was they found mass amounts of dead fish and flocks of birds in a 50 to 150 mile radius around the facility where they were doing the scalar testing. So something clicked for me, and I feel like the scalar technologies were involved in the deaths of these animals. But it's really, you know, there's so many things happening and a lot of information out there. We know that the energies are not balanced right now. And, you know, we could spend a lot of energy trying to get to the core of exactly what has happened. But bigger picture, we know that things are in balance. The Earth is trying to come into balance, and there's a lot of interference. And I think we all need to do our part energetically in fighting sort of an etheric war here, and energetically try to, you know, dissipate these energies that are being put out. I do think we have the ability to do that. I think that it is all energy, and we have the ability to work with energy and help to try to dissipate some of the, whether it's testing or it's full-scale warfare or it's a natural phenomenon. We need to try to help the process unfold in the most elegant way possible, because change does need to happen. But I do think we can assist in the process of how it unfolds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly, certainly. You know, I've seen such a such polarities of what people are saying about this. Some people saying, well, look, you know, animals die even in mass on kind of a regular basis. You know, apparently somebody was even quoting Michio Kaku as, you know, pointing that out recently, is that it's kind of a natural sort of thing, so, you know, don't worry about it. It's nothing to see here. And I don't mean to point this out, like, in any bad light of Michio, because we certainly enjoy a lot of his work. You know, then on kind of the other extreme, you know, you've seen some people just saying, okay, oh my God, this is totally a sign that the world is going to end, and, you know, that apocalypse is upon us. What do you think about that?
I actually think that's an excellent point, because if they are using technology to create these events, it does feed into the Armageddon mindset that they seem to be actively promoting. You know, it creates a sense of doom and fear within people to see these events happen. And it's just the timeliness of it and the frequency of it in the different places on the planet. I do think that there is a fear factor involved in feeding this Armageddon mentality that is forcing people into a place of powerlessness, so that they don't step into their own knowing, using their own discernment, using their own critical mind to understand their own influence on their world around them and what's really happening, what the real story is. And you know, it's difficult living in social consciousness, being fed all of this news and this media that's so full of fear. But you have to step back for a moment and be objective and look at the type of information that's being fed and the type of events that are being orchestrated, because I don't believe there are any accidents in any of this. It's all much deeper and much more complicated, but also much more simple in some ways. It's just, I do think that there is a large amount of mind control factor there and keeping people in a place of powerlessness, fear. It's a tactic that's been used, you know, throughout civilizations and cultures and years when people were, you know, fascist regimes. I mean, these are traditional tactics. It's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being played out in a different way through mass media like never before. I mean, I don't think that any of us really comprehend the level of influence that comes in through our Facebook pages and the news. Even if you're only looking at alternative media, it's really easy to get caught up in the hype of a lot of this, but the end result is a fear mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And to get stuck there is not allowing yourself the ability to grow into, you know, the God being that you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we find ourselves stuck in that vibration of fear, that's not necessarily the vibration that's going to facilitate our growth or our evolution.
Yeah, it's a hard line to walk, to be balanced between being in knowing, you know, being informed about what's happening in the world around you, and then knowing that you need to take time to be introspective, to go within, to tap into your inner knowing and the energies around you. You know, it's very easy to get distracted with the wanting all the answers right now, wanting all the information right now, getting carried away with spending time on YouTube and Facebook and everything else and not taking that time to really integrate and reflect and feel what's happening around you.
That's a really good point. Does anybody else want to kind of weigh in their thoughts on this?
Yeah. Hi, it's Jana. I think that the energies now, they're sort of like a lot of us, well, I guess there's a lot of energy coming to the planet right now, and that our own need to connect is just as easy, it's just as easy to resist being able to do that. And when you do enable that and you do allow yourself to connect to the earth or to yourself on all levels, the amount of information that comes in can be totally overwhelming. And that when you do connect or strive to want to go deeper, is that you'll start to feel actually what the planet is feeling. And it's kind of a harsh reality sometimes. And that there's also the importance of learning to detach from that in the planet's process, so that you don't take it on yourself, so that you can observe it and have discernment. It's very important to just take that time for reflection. And it's only even just 5 minutes a day, or just the initiative to want to do it makes all the difference. So.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Is there something a message in this or what behind this phenomenon? Is this telling us something about our relationship to the earth?
No, I think that if there is a message in here, it's encoded to try to create a reality that we don't necessarily want, and that a lot of people are aware of the fact that they create their reality with their thoughts, and there might be another some people that aren't fully aware, but they've experienced synchronicity and all kinds of things. I mean, we're all conscious waking beings, and that I've kind of gotten the go-ahead that it feels orchestrated to me. It may be part of a larger drama, but that it's a signal that a lot of people's unconscious minds might want to tune into and play out certain dramas,
mm-hmm.
because we have total effect on the quantum field with our thoughts, and that you'll realize that. I mean, the more and more we go within, and if anything, I think it's important to, like Pam was saying, go within in these times. Do not mediate outside of yourself, always on other networks. Go within if you're asking questions and you want to know anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to access all of that information, and on a planetary scale, because your body is a massive tuning fork.
Mm-hmm.
Upon this planet, and that you can pick up on a lot of information if you attune it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so let me ask you this. Some people might say this is semantics or whatever, but, you know, I was describing how the polarization of this issue, of some people saying, hey, it's not really a big deal, don't worry about it, it's nothing to see here, folks, you know, move along, to the opposite of people thinking that this heralds the apocalypse or the end of the world, and I wanted to get your take on the use of that word apocalypse, because if you look up the Latin definition of it, it's mm-hmm. basically talking about
a
revealing. Yes, the mm-hmm. revealing, and personally, I feel that, you know, we are in the midst of that revealing, and it will continue. So, you know, but by that definition, you could say we are living through the apocalypse. Now, you know it. What do you think of that, and is that necessarily a bad thing?
I guess the analytical part of me wants to go back to the Latin, to the guys who created this language and the purpose that it had, because it seems like there's been some things mapped out. I mean, just from my own research, and that, I mean, that's what Latin is. That's what it's saying, and that I'm not buying into it. It does mean to reveal, and it is a great peeling back. And that I feel that the third dimension is heavy, and that lately it's starting to feel kind of like molasses. And if you were to walk through molasses, it would feel like part of you is starting to peel back, and that the layers are coming off, and that it's not just planetary revealing and all these other levels. It's within us, and that's what's going on. And I guess that's just where I'm kind of just turning my focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, well said. So, did anybody else want to weigh in?
Yeah.
On this subject.
Yeah, just as far as connecting to the Earth and the star and the moon and the sky,
sure.
I think that Dan might have something really good to say.
Mr. Dan, the man.
Yes. Hi. This is Dan. Good evening. I just like to say, along the rhythm of the thoughts, that. With the energy now and with more people getting actively involved in where we are, we're moving along at a pretty good clip, that events are much, much more pliable, and our influence on them more palpable, more stronger. And the meditations, you know, that we've done here at the ranch, where you know, James, the recent meditations and so on, they're very significant. When you do that in your own meditation process, just send out energy to different things that are personal to you around the world, or you know, just personal things. We can really, really help help change things now more than ever. I feel. I just thought I'd put that in the works of what we've been discussing. It's brought out questions are brought out about different meditation processes, and I personally gravitated to sun gazing 4 years ago, and before I do talk about it, I just want to say that like anything else that you work on spiritually, it's a process, and sun gazing is a kind of process that go ahead and do some research on it first. You can do it by simply Googling sun gazing or solar healing, and you can get right to some very pertinent information. But it's a process. You do it at very early sunrise and very late sunset if you're going to look directly at the sun in a meditation process. So and you build it up very slowly in 10-second or 20-second increments, whatever's comfortable for you. If you have weak or damaged eyes, don't do it. Just use your heart. I mean, just be more conscious of the light. We've been turned away from the sunlight in a number of different ways for many, many years, and the sunlight is a life-giving source on this planet, and it's a very, very powerful part of living spectrum on Earth, and I just happen to be a very adamant sun gazer because it spoke to me. It was my meditation process that calmed me down, that helped me connect, and it was my way. And I have other processes, but that's my primary process, and I happen to be a very adamant solo meditator, and it has been beneficial and helpful for me. I've was prompted to be on the very strong end of that meditation just to help open more people up to it in my personal life. And so anyways, it's a process. If you do it very early sunrise, very late sunset, and you can look directly at the sun. And once again, if you have weak eyes or damaged eyes, and don't do it. Just mm-hmm. use your heart, but be more conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get out in nature, maybe take the reflection in, look at the reflection in off of a stream or a lake, and enjoy it more. It's a very, very connecting way with Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of many things that flies in the face of conventional wisdom when people first hear about this, that you can look with your bare eyes directly at the sun. You know, I had somebody call the ranch, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and was asking me about, you know, what type of practices do you guys do here? And, you know, while there are some kind of core practices that we all may have or tailor to ourselves, we're kind of a diverse group of people, and we all have our own different individual practices. And I was kind of mentioning, yeah, you know, one of the guys here, he loves solar meditating. You know, he stares at the sun. That's like his main gig, and it just blew this guy's mind. He couldn't believe that, you know, that was safe or that you could actually do it. He'd never heard of it. And you know, you kind of went over some of the precautions of, you know, start slowly, do it when it's rising or falling. Don't just go out there at you know, the peak of the sun to do this. But, you know, Dan, could you maybe describe some of, you know, the benefits or the effects that you have experienced from doing this? What about your eyesight? I mean, has your eyesight improved, or have you feel that it's gotten worse from doing this?
No, it in a way it improved. I had to wear glasses for driving, and I don't wear them at all now. I still do need them if my driving glasses. I do use them if I'm you know a little bit overtired. But no, the main benefit is it hasn't hurt my eyes at all. Nor will it if it's you know practiced as a process. And once again, I'll reiterate that use your heart. I mean, it's a process. Just you don't like run a marathon, a 20-mile marathon, in the first shot out. You know, you do it. You build up gradually. that build up into the rhythm gradual, and it's the same thing. You know, maybe 10 seconds the first time, then close your eyes or turn from the sun and finish your meditation process, and maybe 20 seconds the next time, and 30 seconds. You build it up in increments, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just have to, for myself, I'm on the outer edge, and it just connected me to Mother Earth and nature like no other time in my life, and I always enjoyed getting out in nature, getting out in the woods and camping and things like that, but it just drew me in solidly to a connection with Mother Earth that has been phenomenal and unbelievable and was needed for me to ride this rhythm at this time. And I know a lot of people, because I do solo meditate, of course, I'm going to, you know, connect with other sun gazers that have had many similar things go on in their life. And so, you know, and like I say, give it a try if you want. And if it doesn't feel right, then don't do it. Just be more conscious of the light when you do go out in nature. Just enjoy it more, and however you connect to nature, connect to the light a little more. That's all.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I think that's good advice, Dan. You know, people can try something out for themselves and see if it resonates. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking, now, Dan, you could feel this, or anybody else could feel this, but do you guys think that there's like a conscious effort by the control system to encourage people not to look directly at the sun, to, you know, to be wearing sunglasses, or to be thinking that it's gonna hurt your eyes, or that, you know, to disengage from the sun and sunlight? What do you guys think about that? I don't know if somebody else wants to chime in on that, or if Dan wants to handle that.
Well, I'll start, and I'll if someone else wants to chime in, but. When I started taking the sunlight, I did it intuitively. I hadn't really looked into it too much, and I started in January 2007. And as soon as I did start, my vibration went up quite a bit and so on, and I looked right into it and got to the research. And, you know, the research can be gotten to on the Internet, but... one of the people I was led to was Dr. Mitchell Gibson, and he had gone around the world and uncovered an awful lot of things about cultures and their connection to the sun, and it was a very, very important part of many cultures, and it had been, you know, twisted and turned and been called sun worshiping and many other things, but for the most part, most indigenous cultures had a very strong relationship with the sun. And yes, we were turned away from that method of connection because it happens to be a very strong one. I mean, that's what I learned through my research, and that can be gotten to too. If anyone wants to take the time, there's plenty of professionals that have done their homework on this. So if you want to look into it, you can. Okay. Anyone else?
For me, I think about the skies, the clear blue skies of my childhood, the fluffy white clouds, the clear blue skies, deep blue skies.
Yeah, what happened to those skies?
Yeah, and I remember enough to know that there is something going on preventing that. And I do believe that there is a level of psychological impact on a lot of the aerial spraying that's happening. I think at times it could be other kinds of contaminants and particulars and metals and all of that, but other times it's, you know, a very big part of that campaign is blocking our natural light, our natural energy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, gazing at the sun, I know Khan, one of our teachers, talks about the importance of rising with the sun and absorbing that energy, as well as the importance of gazing at the night sky and absorbing starlight, moonlight.
Mm.
And light is consciousness. It's a transmission. You know, we spend a lot of time here. We don't have a TV here. You know, we spend a lot of time, especially during spring and summer months, out sky watching. You know, and I think that a lot of people, their openings and their experiences here, something in that process of engaging with a larger universe outside of the self allows them to tap into these greater energies and really experience themselves in a different way. And so, you know, connecting with our place in the solar system, the galaxy, the universe, connecting with that infinite source light is all through the sun, through the stars, and through really recognizing that we're not just bodies, personalities, people playing out this drama on this planet, but it's a much larger paradigm and map, and really being able to step back far enough to look at it that way allows you to enjoy it in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm. So I think a lot of the, you know, light is consciousness. It is information. It is energy. So gazing at the sun, gazing at the stars, connecting with nature is essential to bring you outside of just this limited, you know, skin bag that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, respecting it and the process that the container that we're in, but also just bursting outside of that paradigm changes it, your perspective on everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's fun. It's fun.
Indeed. So Pam, while we got you on the line, and Dan had kind of brought up the topic of, you know, what is his main practice.
Hmm.
You know, I wanted us to kind of talk about our practices.
Yeah.
You know, because this is the downtime right now. The ranch is closed, and you know, it's a really good opportunity for us to be focusing on our disciplines and everything.
Hmm.
But I know last year you had you and Son, you guys went out and you did kind of a tour,
mm-hmm,
of some various spots around the country, doing some workshops,
mm-hmm,
and you know, so I just wanted to kind of question you on maybe what has changed in your approach, in your perspective to teaching, to facilitating classes currently. Like, where are you at now in comparison to last year's experience? And what do you have lined up on the horizon here?
Okay, well, my initial experiences with these practices were primarily about healing.
Mm-hmm.
Like physical healing of ailments, where I had back problems. I had a lot of things going on that I got in touch with my own internal healing process through these practices. And then, you know, going and sharing with everyone was amazing. It was a learning experience for all of us. But, you know, there was also a part of me that always was looking for more, different practices. Is, you know, learning from our teachers, different, more and more and more. And I have now begun to look at the essence of what these practices are about, and it's really simplified to the level of just taking time out each day for internal reflection, for going within and really feeling my heart, what I'm feeling, what comes up, and anything that I'm resisting, going into, you know, with some gusto to resolve it, with some courage, you know, in many ways. So this time that we have here this winter, you know, when we're closed, it's a luxury. I mean, we have time to really use in any way that we choose, and we spend time reaching out and, you know, talking with people, sharing information, and we spend a lot of time, you know, really looking inward and really, really refining ourselves and letting go of what no longer serves us in many ways. So,
mm-hmm,
part of that for me is really, you know, Qigong is important to me, and the spontaneous practice is just key. But this has been more of a time of sitting meditation and really just tapping in and feeling in. Connecting with nature, really expanding my awareness to the seven trees that are outside of my room.
Mm.
You know the quiet out here. The, you know, connecting with nature and the stillness. It's been such a gift. It's what I'm most grateful for right now, is the time to go through this process. You know, and at the same time, you know, preparing for continued sharing And our workshops really have become most, first and foremost, about sharing. Mm-hmm. Everyone sharing their experiences, sharing practices, sharing energy, and understanding that the collective is so much more powerful than the individual, you know, and really understanding how to open our hearts and share. But we're going to be traveling a little bit this spring. I know we're going to be in Vermont on April 8th through 10th, and we're looking at going to San Diego, Dallas, Austin, Durham, a few other cities. Still working on some dates, but really it's what flows, it's what unfolds because it's needed, and it's about a shared experience with everyone. So, you know, I love being here all winter, but I do feel a pull to get out and start connecting and activating and really creating little communities of people who are doing energetic work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, it's about the activation. And each city we've gone to and each group that we've shared energy with have continued in one way or another to do the energetic work, to share, to heal. And there's been really dramatic, profound effects in people's lives and in communities, and it's just, that's what it's all about. It's about sharing.
Yeah. We've met a ton of really amazing people that you guys met first doing your tour.
Yeah.
Basically, and then we met them at the ranch.
Yeah, it's like little families were formed each place that we went, and the family connected back here at the ranch, and everybody makes their way here, and it's just the feeling of family and knowing, you know, I can't help but feel like there is a divine plan and how we all run into each other and connect, and it feels so fluid and, you know, just amazing. It's really what makes it all worthwhile is the connections, the people, all of us sort of headed in the same direction together.
Yeah, and when you run into that just string of synchronicities, you know, you know you're doing something right at least.
Right. And that really is what I look for, is the synchronicities and the flow and the process,
mm-hmm.
you know.
What about, now, is there one scheduled for California?
We're working on that. It'll be in April probably, and in San Diego. And I know James is going to be at the Prophets Conference in Palm Springs.
Yeah, that's on
February 25th through March 1st.
Yeah, something like that.
And Little Grandmother, Daniel Pinchbeck. Be a lot of great speakers there. And there is a chance we may do a workshop in Palm Springs that weekend. Mm-hmm. But we're just kind of figuring it out.
If you live in that area,
let us know. Yeah.
Cool. Well, so it looks like Jana had, she might have had something to say about something that was going on in the conversation, I don't know, like a minute or so ago.
Here you go, Jana.
Yeah, I guess something just sort of clicked on when Pam was talking about the time to allow and
mm-hmm.
sort of trying to communicate the thought of, a lot of us are reading a lot, we're researching a lot, we're delving. And the ability to move things beyond theory into applicable into your life, into your everyday life, because it's really easy, but it's just as easy to recognize, you know, what you've been conditioned to just sort of, you know, react response mode, and that just sort of like moving beyond the concept of like, no, I have to do this and I have to do that. And it's not just a limiting mental concept, but also the fact to allow yourself to make some more bold decisions in this time, to do really what you're feeling is in your highest and best good and in your highest potential. And sometimes those things can feel, you know, pretty risky, pretty brave in these times, and that I think it's time to make those decisions. I think it's time to totally align and to be the brave mystic that you are, because I think I'm sitting with a marvelous and brilliant group of people that have all made the brave and bold decisions to step into their power and to gather, you know, together in, you know, by a fire and share with whoever many people are talking tonight. You're all with us. We're sharing all of this.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, just sort of moving beyond theory, and the internet's good. The networks are good. All of it is good. But again, you know, just do your thing. Go within. Have a laugh. Stare at the sun. Go outside. Get beyond all of it in whatever way you can, whatever is your gateway, whatever you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Trust yourself. And if you've never done it, do it for the first time in your life.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yeah, beyond the armchair philosophizing about it and putting it into action. And no one can really tell us how we as individuals can put something into action or apply something. That's ultimately up to every one of us to figure out the best way to do that for ourselves.
Yeah, just don't
individual.
Overthink it.
Yeah. Indeed. So looks like Steph had something that was sparked in her about a comment that you had just made.
Yeah, she's a lovely elf.
Let's see what she's got.
Well, it just hit me when Jenna was speaking about, you know, what you're feeling inside, you know, and it may even sound a little crazy, but if you're prompted, and I understand that from experience. A year and a half ago, I got this incredible calling to live in nature, and I all of a sudden gave notice at my job and my work and my apartment, and I had no money and no prospects, had no idea where I was going to go or what I was going to do, but I completely trusted in that. I had no fear because I felt it so strongly in my heart that I needed to be in nature that it didn't sound crazy to me. And I basically just kind of got out of my way and opened myself up to the universe and said, okay, guide me to where I need to be. And it, you know, outside of it, it might have looked a little, or sounded, you know, a little crazy. I had no idea where I was going to go or what I was going to do and no money, but it didn't matter. And I never questioned it. Not once did I ever question where am I going to go or what I'm going to do. I knew I would end up where I needed to be. So just really, if you get any kind of opportunity to get out into nature and be still and listen to your heart, what is it telling you? It may sound crazy, but if you feel it, do it and trust that you will go where you need to go and that whatever you need will be provided. If you just let go and put yourself into service and you know, for humanity and the earth, what you need will be provided for you. I've experienced that myself. And I don't know, I just felt that when she was talking about that. So if you feel something, go with it. Go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that a lot of people are feeling that at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I know for a fact a lot of people that write the ranch or call the ranch, you know, they're expressing that they're feeling something like that, or you know, also people are feeling really kind of conflicted about how to apply. Looks like Jana's got something to say kind of regarding this. What's she got?
I feel like I'm on Jeopardy.
You got the Audio Daily Double, baby.
I feel that there's the opportunity to create little ranches everywhere, and that there's always been little ranches everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a vortex of energy. It's where any intention is set with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, with the practices that we've discovered together and the ancient knowledge coming forward within us and from all around us, is that we remember the power of group energy.
Mm.
So if you start a rooftop garden, or you start a backyard bonanza, you can invite at least a dozen people. And that's what the future's going to require.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not just so much about the ranch. It's just, I really feel it's a lot about the activation of people awakening within themselves, seeing themselves and everyone around them, no matter what neighborhood you live. Because when you go internal, you do start to see yourself in everyone. So therefore, you know, everyone becomes your neighbor. But, you know, we're talking about external influences.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about all these other things. But I'll tell you that beyond all this phenomenon, there is there's a lot of very amazing beings that can transcend this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's idealism. I don't think it's utopian. I'm not going to play out a dystopian future. I mean, there's a whole soundtrack to that. Trust me, they've already plugged it into you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying it. We're not buying it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, create your own musical and learn to sing a chorus with your whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just got one little ranchita here, and trust me, there's another one in South India. There's another one in Russia. We're holding down the fort everywhere. So wherever you are, you're gonna be part of the grid. So it's not about having to go far distances or to Nepal. I mean, if you feel that you need to go somewhere, like it's really strong, perhaps there is knowledge there for you to seek and to engage and to absorb and then to give back. That's good. But I mean, probably where you are now, your inner promptings are endless.
Mhm. Okay, so, you know, kind of bringing this back to the beginning of the show, we're talking about interesting phenomena that's been being recognized that's happening globally this year. So what do you guys foresee on the horizon for 2011? You know, and given, you know, this trend of growing global fascism and draconian control measures, you know, do you guys see any potential for those measures of control to become a catalyst? And you know, is there positive ways that you see people can implement empowering solutions into their lives? Looks like Pam wants to say something about that.
Yeah,
but Janet's chewing on it.
Yeah, I've got a really furrowed brow right now.
Well, I embrace all that's happening as an opportunity for people to step back into self-sufficiency. You know, it has been a long time coming that people have been dependent upon the system, and so what I feel is needed for humanity in the immediate future. You know, there are hard times ahead, but there's also this beautiful opportunity to step back into self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. See, where does our food come from? Growing your own food, connecting with the land, understanding what it is you need to live and survive, and only that. You know, there's been a lot of excess and a lot of programming around excess and materialism, and I don't know that we as a group, as a collective group, can really transcend without overcoming that piece. So whatever's ahead as far as energetic shifts, I think really involves us stepping into our personal power, which to me translates to self-sufficiency, living on the earth in harmony, understanding where our food comes from, understanding how to interact with one another, and you know, really be part of the community that is Earth, you know. But I do think there's going to be some challenges ahead. But I also think that part of what got us here was a forgetting. And what's going to get us back to center is a knowing. And through heading into it without reservation, we get to that place of knowing, the experience, you know, of reclaiming our divinity in so many ways, you know, and our place here on the planet.
Yeah, I guess I got a little brow for, as soon as the word draconian came in, I just sort of dropped off, you know. It's like, wait a minute, that's not fully part of what I'm understanding, because I think I'm in the process of completely eliminating from my consciousness. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It blows my mind when I have to try to bring it into the picture of what we're going to create. I think in 2011 we're probably going to see a few more dramas played out, and that you have to keep a watchful eye in your mind, and to carry from your dream state into your waking state the awareness so that you can bust through the illusion of what's going on, so that you can detect when certain signals and symbols are being dropped. And to stay conscious in every breath and every step. And it's a vigilance of some sort, but it's a joyful vigilance because you know what's going on. So, yeah, so, I mean, there are going to be other things that are going to come, and that what I feel is just really important is to feel what the planet is going through, because she is going through a very big process. She is a sentient being, and she is ascending. Our bodies are ascending, and our bodies are a reflection of the planet. So when you're feeling certain sensations, you have to move through them, or you have to detach them from them. And that it can actually, I know a lot of people have been writing to the ranch about physical symptoms, and I've experienced some of them myself.
Mm-hmm.
Before every earthquake's hitting, I'm getting a major migraine. I've never had migraines in my life. It's like every plate in my skull is a tectonic plate, and for the first time I really wanted to learn cranial sacral therapy. So it's also a great time to learn new things.
Things
that you don't think that you could do, because
that you haven't done before.
Yeah. Never done before.
Yeah.
Unlimited, yeah. So, yeah, I just really encourage that, because you're going to be called to do that, and if you resist it, you might, you know, like I resisted certain things before, and I just kept getting sick. And when I kind of release some things and let do, or let happen, let do, it allowed for a great healing. And for planetary healing to happen, we have to start within the planetary body ourselves, because that's the only way that you can contribute to the planet, is if you are a clear channel for the planet. So, yeah, I just really recommend that first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are some really great points. I mean, you know, personally, I think the storyline that unravels here throughout the rest of the year, who knows what it's going to be. I think it's going to be a hilarious script that would just make any Hollywood movie pale in comparison. You know, regardless of any challenges that we face, it's a tremendous opportunity for us to, as you're saying, to, you know, to learn new things, to extract ourselves from the different systems of control in whatever way is applicable to us as individuals. Okay, so that leads me to this question. You know, given we know that the control system, you know, has a tendency to use these tactics of the Hegelian dialectic, or problem reaction solution, or playing both sides off of each other, you know, divide and rule. The classic thing, we've been seeing this going on for years. We're seeing it going on right now. I'm sure that we're going to see more of that throughout the rest of the year. Now, given that, what sort of role does discernment play in walking this path of transcendence or of awakening, or however you want to describe that?
Well, we're walking a fine line, but I really feel that this first off is that on a lot of different networks, because we're operating in those realms right now, and they're made of code and symbols and words, is that it's very hard. I really just feel that your truth is your truth. It's your experience, and that it's not something that you necessarily have to inflict on others. But that expression is very important. But it's really good to lay out all the cards on the table and to have an observer's stance before you make any big, bold statements.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I mean, it's just good to kind of to look at the big picture, to pan out first before you go into gut reaction, before you attack others. But that there's just a lot of polarity going on, and it's totally not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of scrambles me, because it brings me into the consciousness of these really opposing energies, and it just scrambles me silly.
Yeah, I mean, it is a delicate balance of, you know, walking that line between exercising discernment, but not standing in a place of casting judgment, you know, and exercising compassion and having that observer state. You know, because it's kind of another thing I was thinking about is we realize there's basically an agenda to kind of demonize the truth movement, or the alternative research community, or, you know, how the alternative media, however you want to term it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's one of the tactics, is to get us kind of arguing against each other, like, oh, well, that person's full of crap, or, you know, because they said such and such, or they believe in this.
Well, again, it's the observer state. If you cultivate that, then you're not, you know, you can still engage, but you can detach from it, and that it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to figure it out whether you're late to the party or not, and that's just kind of my opinion. I'm not really into the banter of what is and what is not, because if you tune into the earth and what's actually going on, you will know no less than the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to make the decisions to align with that, you'll know that.
Yeah.
So for me, that's kind of just like a joke.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're running low on time, and there's one other question I kind of wanted to throw out there for everybody. It's like, you know, what would we suggest, or how do we personally deal with friends and family that, in our eyes, you know, maybe they're not awake to certain things that they could or should be, or aren't interested in what's going on the planet. And this is something that, you know, we all talk about and we all kind of struggle with sometimes.
Well, from what I've experienced, is, and this is just my personal vantage point, is that I do feel that, for me, I chose my parents. I have recollection of that. And that you do need to realize that, and to sort of make it as simple as possible, is that everyone here is on their own journey, and that it's not up to you to wake anyone else up. And to quote one of my favorite speakers, Neil Kramer, man, he did this interview with Mel last night on the Veritas show.
Oh, yeah.
I highly recommend everyone listening. He goes, who are you to go in and wake up a sleeping baby in the middle of the night just because you're awake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to realize that this baby has been born in its own time. And it's not that everyone's your baby, but, I mean, also look at, some sort of philosophy of Buddhism or the Dalai Lama thing. Look at everyone as though they are your mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reverence for life will just continue to exude. So who are you to... Because this is... I mean, it's really exciting to feel like you have something to share, but just walk gently.
Yeah, that's a natural inclination that we have. Dan, looks like Dan wants to pipe in on that one.
Just to further on these thoughts, talking about 2011, I personally am getting that it's going to be an extremely accelerated year.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on is a lot of those family and friends that you love that are still more or less embedded in society and going about their business. A lot of them have children and are busy with that, but I believe a lot of them are going to be nudging up against you, and what it is, and a lot of you know this, but it's just reiterate that when you do talk to them, and if they have questions, you simply do the delivery in a very selfless manner, and you do it in an unattached manner. You give them suggestions if you're prompted to, but then you detach yourself. And you give them their empowering motivation, and that's the way we do it. And some of us have to learn that lesson a few times before we get real good at it. But once you do
yeah.
it once or twice or three times, it becomes a rhythm, and it becomes a process that you just start doing naturally. And it's a beautiful thing when you see someone take their steps when you had that detached influence. Okay, I love you all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pass the phone on.
Mm. Beautiful, Dan. Yeah, I mean, it's honoring people's free will and honoring people to, you know, walk their own journey and walk their own path at their own pace, exercising that loving non-attachment. Pam, you got something?
Yeah, I really do feel like that is what it's all about, emanation, just through, I know with my family, they may not exactly understand what it is I'm doing up here at Ysetti Ranch, but what they see is happiness in my face,
mm-hmm.
in my eyes, my, you know, really seeing a true peace and happiness, you know, and that makes them open.
Mm-hmm.
To try to figure out what is it that you're doing up there.
Yeah, there's a transmission in just the way you live and just
yeah.
the way you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I share a bit here and there with them, and it's been a really transformational in my sharing with my family, but it all comes down to emanating my own love and joy and acceptance of them and where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Steph, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, I just wanted to say quickly, too, is, and Pam is right, you know, and I've had that experience, too, is, you know, people that might not understand what I'm doing here and why I don't have as much contact with them as I used to or whatever, but the bottom line is, for the first time in my life, I wake up every day happy. Happy. Every day of my life, I am grateful to be here. I am grateful for every experience I have. And that's what they see. And that's what they love to see. And my mom always says, I miss you very much, but I'm happy that you're happy where you are. And that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jana wants to add something.
Follow your bliss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, indeed.
And a shout out to Mr. James.
And shout out to James.
Papa James. He's surfing the cosmos at some point, somewhere around here. Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. You know, is there any other last suggestions or recommendations that we might have for other people for just means of self-care or, you know, just anything else that we might say to people that are kind of having a hard time right about now?
Grounding processes have been increasingly important for someone as sensitive as myself, and I know that there are hundreds of thousands of people like me that are from many vast places in many star systems, and that there are some heavy-duty energies coming to the planet right now, so it's really good to learn what grounds you. I will share with you that I was vegetarian for over 10 years before I came to Yosetti Ranch, and I had I've had a lot of awesome experiences here, but the first experience I had here, other than the massive blue ship that came over the field within the first 5 minutes, was my guide telling me that I had to eat meat, and that was a really, that was a huge shock to me. You know, people have different metabolisms. You might be, it's controversial, and I absolutely understand it, and all I'm doing is sharing my personal journey. I studied in India. I've had different journeys, and I had to start eating meat to be able to stay on this planet and to do my mission. Not to do my mission and to wear my cloak, but to be here, to act out. And that you can, and I do a lot of different grounding practices through Qigong. My metabolism personally is not built to eat the way that I was eating, and that we're all going through vibrational frequency changes. And that actually it seems quite backwards and quite controversial, but for me to be able to harness the full power and the full light, I actually had to totally ground my body and take part of eating some you know, wild game and things like that, and that I'm very conscious about the meat I do eat, and that it was really important for me. And it's something I want to share because it was just, like, so personal, and that it's changed my life, and that you can do different grounding practices. Trust me, I tried everything. And you can email us about this, and that I know that it's very personal, but for me it really helped, and that I recommend it to anyone that might be struggling right now. And you can be conscious, and you can be humane about this.
Mm. Well said.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jana. And, you know, thanks to everybody else here on the staff for participating in the roundtable tonight. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Nice opportunity for us all.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. So it looks like it's about time for us to wrap it up. You know, if you guys have any questions, certainly call the ranch or catch the ranch on an email, and we'll get back to you. There's a documentary that's going to be coming out here real soon about the ranch, so keep your eyes out for that. Check out the Prophets Conference. James is going to be there. Yeah, the map makers are the ones that are doing the documentary that's going to be coming out very soon, and they're actually doing an interview with James on the World Puja Network that comes out on Tuesday. So, everybody, hope you enjoyed the show tonight, and we'd encourage everybody to use their own discernment, go within, trust your own intuition. Have a great evening, everybody. We'll catch you next time here on As You Wish. Good night.